From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of Jackie Chan Radio. I am Steve Hill.
Love it.
And I'm joined by Sarah Sinclair. Sarah, Jackie Chan fever is sweeping the nation. Like, are you ready to talk about this top up-and-coming kid from Asia today?
Yeah, I wish I could watch the video. Terry Miller,
I also wish I could watch the video. Yeah, Terry, come on, Terry. I mean, love you, like, Terry.
Obviously, I'm psyched about it because who is this kid? I want to know more about him, but I really want to see him in action. And I saw one of the articles that got posted. I guess Brian Honegger that wrote the article?
Yeah, Brian Honegger.
Okay, wrote that his circle two putting kind of looked like Paul McBeth's.
That's I've seen several comments that say he's kind of a Macbeth clone.
Interesting. See, I'm very intrigued to watch that.
If there's a player to mimic, that's the one. So anyway, this is PDJ Radio. We are going
to
talk about Jackie Chan this week.
Confused.
We're also going to cover the recently released PDGA World Rankings, and we're going to do some picks. It's like the proper de facto start of the season, Sarah. We've got the Wintertime Open this weekend. Out here in Pasadena, California, at the world's first disc golf course, Oak Grove Park. So we're going to talk about that. A couple quick announcements before we really get into the show more. If you are an MPO or FPO player and you're going to be coming to join us at the Texas State Disc Golf Championship, go sign up. Registration's been open, and we want more players to come and join us out at Lindsay Park in Tyler, Texas at the end of March. You can head over to pdga.com for information on that. And then in addition, on national tour news front, we have added GK Pro to our media slate for the season, which I'm super stoked about. So we're now going to have Jomez, Central Coast, Gatekeeper, and GK Pro. Those are two different companies, people. Gatekeeper Media, GK Pro, two different companies. At all the national tour events, and we're still in the process of adding more, so we've got plenty of media on tap so we can watch all the tournaments. Going back to watching all the tournaments, we have not gotten to watch anything from the Asia Open yet. I know, Terry Miller was over there filming it, right, Sarah? And
yeah.
I get it, man, you're traveling, you're in Asia, you're overseas, but I want Terry to put that out like yesterday. So come on, Terry, please.
Come on, Terry.
We know you're totally listening to this show, Terry. No, but by all accounts, this kid, Jackie Chan, is a phenom. He went out to this, and granted, it's a B tier. It's the Asia Open. This is in Taiwan. Not a huge event or anything, but you had a couple players there of note, such as Manabu Kajiyama, the highest rated player in Asia until now. James Conrad, Philo Brathwaite, Nate Perkins. He comes out and he beats all these dudes, granted only by one, but still, he comes out and beats all these guys, shoots a 1031, a 1049, and a 1040. He had not been rated. His PDGA number is 128.836. He is 22 years old. Apparently, he throws backhand and forehand. And he now is the owner of the highest ratings debut ever because he now does have a rating. And it is what, Sarah?
1040.
1040.
Get this man a sponsor. Just somebody.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that. I was gonna say that was gonna be my next question for you. Who's your favorite to sign him? Like, what are the sponsor sweepstakes gonna be here for Jackie Chan?
I mean, Innova's got a pretty good international team. I would think that they would swoop him up. I hope they would.
I was thinking about that. Because he also beat two of Innova's like top players.
Yeah.
So they're going to see that firsthand. My other thought, and this wasn't even thinking about Manabu, because I believe Manabu is sponsored by Prodigy, but Prodigy has also tried to make a lot of inroads in China as far as manufacturing, and they've gone over there and done clinics and teaching and stuff like that. So I wouldn't sleep on them either. I think those are maybe my top two brands to try and swoop in and get him. We'll see.
Do we know what he was throwing? Do we know anything?
No idea.
I mean, if he's a Paul McBeth,
you think he was putting with Lunas and throwing onyxes?
Very possible.
And,
yeah.
He was wearing an Innova shirt.
Oh.
I mean, but that doesn't, I mean, Innova is the biggest, one of the biggest companies in disc golf. Like, their shirts are everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we can read too much into that, but my two favorite, my two top odds, like if I were an odds maker in Vegas, I would go Innova and Prodigy.
That makes sense.
Discraft, they should have waited, man, they went all in on the Brody Smith sweepstakes and they should have been waiting for Jackie Chen. Who knew?
And what a name too. I mean, like the name.
Yeah, there were so many like Rush Hour and like Chris Tucker jokes on social media, but come on, this guy's better than Jackie Chan. This guy's a better disc golfer. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I really do hope, you know, maybe this is the start of him being able to do something bigger and better internationally. Maybe we get him over to an event or two here. Maybe he can come to Worlds. That'd be great. But either way, super fun off-season story. And hopefully we get to learn more about him in, you know, the coming weeks and months, and definitely a name to keep an eye on because he's now like the highest. He's tied for the sixth highest rating of all players now.
Yes. And it's not fluky.
With like Simon Lazat.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, he played three. Do we know if that's his home course? I guess we don't know.
No idea.
I mean, it's possible that that's his home course. It's like the only course he's ever thrown.
I'm not beating Nate Perkins, Philo Brathwaite, and James Conrad on my home course.
Obviously, he's very highly skilled, but I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
No time for devil's advocate.
You take him over to another course where he's not as familiar, and maybe he shoots 1,000. I don't know.
Nah.
I want to learn more.
We'll see. We'll have to do some deeper analysis once the video is out. It should be coming from Terry Miller, the disc golf guy. Keep an eye out for that. He should also have Thailand coverage. He's been over there in Asia for a while, so
maybe get him.
That
on,
should be good.
Get him on the show.
Get Terry on the show?
No, get Jackie Chan on the show.
Get Jackie on the show. Yeah, yeah. That too. No, I know. I was gonna say we could probably get Terry on the show, but he kind of has his own show. I'm not sure if he cross pollinates.
I've been on his show a couple times.
That's true. I've been on his show too. Maybe we should have him on.
anyway.
So since we're kind of over on the other side of the world right now, Sarah, let's kind of shift this into a discussion about the world rankings that were finally updated. I will admit that we were a little bit behind schedule on this year's batch of world rankings because there was a change to the formula. Basically, some of our tech geniuses like Pete Crist, they saw some discrepancies in how the world rankings were being calculated in terms of certain events overly weighting things. I don't know if you remember, Sarah, do you remember last year at the end of 2018, Eagle McMahon was ranked like 10th in the world, I think.
I do remember talking about that, and I read the article on PGA.com and was reminded too that that seemed like there was some kind of flaw in the calculation.
Well, he came in, so last year I think he did not very well at Worlds, and then so like that one event really bumped him down in the rankings, and everyone was like, what? Eagle McMahon is not the 10th rated player in the world, and there was like quite a bit of uproar about it on social media. And so I think that made some tweaks, other things like that. Cause then if you look at Paul McBeth this year, like, okay, he had USDGC, didn't have a very good event there, but slayed everywhere else. So like, does Paul McBeth having one bad USDGC drop him off of being the top player in the world? I don't know. So not in the world rankings now, because basically the way the rankings are calculated is that if you've gotten points in 4 of 5 categories, you get to drop your worst finish. Pretty common for how a lot of these kind of things are set up in other sports, but that basically leaves us with Paul McBeth 1, Ricky Wysocki 2, Eagle McMahon 3 in the world now. Makes more sense to me. And over on the FPO side, Paige Pierce, Katrina Allen, and number 3, Hanna Blomroos over from Finland. Pretty excited to see her up to number 3. I was actually kind of surprised. So you can see the full list right now up at PGA.com. I'll just read the rest of the top 10 and then Sarah and I will discuss a little bit. Rest of the top 10 on the MPO side. Number 4, James Conrad. 5, Chris Dickerson. 6, Simon Lazat. 7, Kevin Jones. 8, Calvin Heimberg. 9, Nate Sexton. And number 10, Double G, Garrett Gerthy. Love to see him up to number 10. And then the rest of the women's side, Kristen Tatar, number 4, Sarah Hokum, Evelina Salonen, Paige Hsu, Rebecca Cox, Jessica Weiss, Madison Walker, rounding out the top 10. Sarah, were there any real surprises or observations that you saw out of this new top, or maybe not even the top 10, but, you know, diving down the list a little more? Anything really surprising in these rankings?
Honestly, Paige Hsu being as high as she is. She had a couple of good showings last year, but she would admit herself that she didn't have the strongest season after her Worlds win in 2018. And I'm honestly a little bit surprised that she was ranked that high.
Okay.
But at the same time, you know, we always talk about the fact that there are, way fewer women playing the sport.
Yeah, I think that's a factor.
And yeah, and so there's not as much, switcheroo when it comes to these types of things. And I think she's pretty much the only one that I'm surprised at.
All right, how about on the MPO side? Did anything jump out at you?
Not really. I think it's pretty cool that Chris Dickerson, and this was pointed out in the article, that he is number 5. And what did the article say? That he didn't go any more west?
He didn't play west of Kansas.
Kansas, yes. And I just actually saw his tour schedule for this year. He is playing Worlds, so that's west of Kansas. But
yeah,
other than that, I don't think he's going past GBO.
Still couldn't get him out to Beaver State after Worlds, or...
I know.
Man.
He is playing Delaware this year, though, which is new. He hasn't played Delaware before,
okay,
which I thought was kind of strange because it's not all that far and it's woods golf. So I thought it would suit
him. I mean, well, the last couple years was the week right after Worlds.
That's true. Yeah.
That impacted
a
lot of people.
And he's driving, so it takes him, longer to get places.
Sure. I think just from my vantage point, like I think the rankings make a lot more sense now. And that's no knock on anybody who was necessarily higher last time, but just if I were to go up to average Joe disc golf fan on the street and say, name me the top 5 disc golf players in the world, odds are they'd get 3 out of these top 5 off the first crack with Paul McBeth, Ricky Wysocki, Eagle McMahon, James Conrad, and Chris Dickerson. The rest of the, I'm really curious to see what Ricky does this year coming back from his Lyme disease. The Chris Dickerson thing cracks me up and is amazing. Like, it just kind of shows that the world is wherever you really need it to be. And then some really, really significant jumps. Joel Freeman up to 14th from 42nd. Chris Clemens, who was on the show last week, all the way up to 13th. And then Alex Russell making a huge jump from 17th to 73rd. Like, so many big moves. Also, obviously, some significant drops. Greg Barsby made a pretty big tumble down the list. Paul Ewellberry after his injury. I bet it'll be pretty quick work to see Paul Ewellberry come back up from 42nd right now. And then over on the women's side, man, so the average age, I pulled some numbers. If you're looking at like those players that are in like the 14 to 17 range, so Valerie Mondoano, Haley King, Heather Young and Callie McMorrin, they're all somewhere from 14 to 20 in the rankings. Their average age is like 19 and a quarter. So something like that. I did math on this. You're shaking your head at me, but I did math.
No, I'm shaking my head because I'm like, man, I feel old.
That looked like a shake your head like I was wrong. Like I did the math wrong.
More than 10 years old.
Gotcha. We don't need to talk about that. But that being said, just really cool to see the youth movement and then the international movement. You know, 3 of the top 6 players are from Finland and Estonia on the women's side. So it's a good time in women's disc golf right now. I think it's going to be really exciting this season. And the cool part that I'm also excited about with the rankings now is they're more automated. So we're actually going to roll out, like the last couple of years, I think we've only done 1 world rankings update a year, like at the end of the year. And if we're being honest, the people want them more often than that because everyone likes to look at lists like this and dive into them and punditry and whatnot. So they're going to come out now after the May or at the same time as the May ratings update. So that one will kind of capture people's progress through the first part of the year through like the first couple pro tours and NTs. And then the August update, which is going to capture Pro Worlds and the European Open. And then the November update, which will get you through, you know, the NT finale, USDGC, all that stuff. So we'll have a more, you know, regular look at how people are performing and moving up and down the rankings rather than just once a year, which personally I'm pretty stoked about. So thank you to thank you to our tech team for really working on this. Pete Christ was a big driver behind this. I know Todd Lyon, our events assistant, has done some work on it too. So thanks to those guys for giving us some good stuff to look at and talk about. Sarah, let's do this. We've been chatting a lot. The show is actually going to be pretty short today, which is kind of a little bit of a change, but it's a good warm up because we're about to get into full blown season time, which means lots of talking. So we're going to take a break real quick and we'll come back with some hot rounds, some wintertime open picks, and some bold predictions for 2020, which, you know how bold we get on this show sometimes. It's like,
you're a little more bold than I am.
Steal yourselves, people. We're getting bold. So we'll be back in just a moment on PGA Radio. All right, Sarah, it is time for some hot rounds. What do you got over on the FPO side?
Most of my rounds were from the Lone Star Classic, and that event was, you guessed it, in Texas, in Austin, Texas.
Can I just get on a small soapbox for this?
Go for it.
I'm interrupting, and I'm sorry. I'm a person who appreciates alliteration. And granted, I know maybe for a disc golf event, you don't want to do like gun connotations. So I could give you that, but it is in Texas. And why not call this the Lone Star Shootout? I'm off the soapbox now. Thank you. Go ahead.
Maybe you should be a tournament director. Or be like a tournament director consult, like a
I should just go to Texas and start a competing tournament called the Lone Star Shootout.
Perfect. That I'm doesn't sure sound like a lot me. Of work at all.
No, I'm just kidding.
Just go out and do that. All right. Anyway, so most of my hot rounds were from the Lone Star Classic, which was a B tier in Austin. The fifth hottest rated round was Casey Pennington. She just moved there, I want to say last year, to Texas. So super cool. She's ending up on the hot rounds. She shot a 923 her second round and ended up in fourth place. The fourth hottest rated round was from a different event. Amy Lewis shot a 947 her second round to take first place at the SOWS or SOWS Tom Pierce. And that event was in Grants Pass, Oregon. It was a C tier. And yeah, she won that event. Congratulations to Amy. The next three are from the Lone Star Classic. Lisa Fagus shot a 949 her first round to take first place. Stephanie Vincent shot a 968 her second round to take second place. And then Valerie Mondahano with the Hot Round of the Week award. She actually improved her score by nearly 200 rating points between the first and the second round. And shot a 987 round two to end up in third place.
And what'd she shoot her first round?
A 789.
So she went 789, 987.
Yes.
She played the palindrome tournament.
That's right. That's hard.
Usually
to do.
You don't want to do that unless it's like 11, 11, 11, 11 or something like that. That'd be nice.
But she did end up. She had a very rough start, but she ended up cashing.
Yeah, great recovery.
Place, so very good recovery. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, we'll have to see what her schedule is looking like this year. See if she gets out to some more events. All right, over on the MPO side, starting with the man, the myth, the legend, Dan Hastings, who is on a tear in the hot rounds category lately. Is this his third episode in a row on the hot rounds? We might have to rename
these.
We might have to rename these the Dan Hastings hot rounds.
Yeah,
Hastings hot rounds. Hastings Hot Rounds. We'll see if he wants to sponsor them. he shot a 1058 rated second round at the Ballantine Hotel Open presented by Innova Disc Golf and Play It Again Sports Pineville. This was out in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he ended up coming in fourth place at that tournament with his 1058. Out at that Lone Star Classic. Okay, so there's the Lone Star Classic, right? And this guy shot a 1062 rated round. His name is Brian Sheriff. Sheriff at the Lone Star Classic. Also playing at the Lone Star Classic, not on the hot rounds, but came in fourth place. Marshall blanks. So we've got the Lone Star Classic with a marshal and a sheriff. I'm maybe having too much fun with the hot rounds this week. Anyway, Brian Sheriff's 1062 helped him come in eighth. Connor O'Reilly at that same event also shot a 1062 and came in fifth. And then up in the next set of hot rounds, the Texas Cactus himself, Bradley Williams, won that event after a 1078 rated second round. We've got Philo Brathwaite over at the Asia Open with his 1079 rated second round coming in third place. And I will give our final hot round on the MPO side, an 1100 to none other than Mr. Christopher Robot Chicken Limestone Laser Dickerson.
But his nickname is the Limestone Cowboy.
He's got too many nicknames.
No, I'm saying that, like three that also, that. I know he didn't play the Lone Star Classic, but it goes along with your cowboy. Oh,
that would have worked too. That would have worked.
Here.
But he was over in at this Ballantine Hotel Open, and he ended up winning that one. And I've just got a quick pop in from our stats and information department. The official rating for Lisa Fakus, we were kind of talking off air, Sarah, about Lisa Fakus's possible hot round. She did shoot a 978. So that bumps her up into second on the hot rounds.
Sorry about
Valerie is still good to go. So she's a good deal. So those are our hot rounds. And we'll have to see who comes up. We'll see if Dan Hastings comes up on the list next week. I haven't checked his schedule yet to see if he's coming up with another tournament. So my bet is we're probably gonna have a lot of hot rounds coming from the Wintertime Open. It is kind of the start of the pro season out here in Southern California. And we're going to do a short preview of that, Sarah, and make some picks. So if we're looking at this event, it's the 42nd time this event has run. And it takes place at Oak Grove Park in Pasadena, California, the first disc golf course in the world. As a result, it is, you know, for people who've watched it, it's a little shorter, a little more technical. You got some hanging willows. It's not, you know, it's not like we're talking super high championship level distances here, but it's a fun way to start the season. And, you know, it's kind of everyone coming out of the woodwork and a lot of big Southern California players. So should be exciting to watch this weekend. It's not going to be scored on UDisc. However, it is going to be filmed by our buddies over at Central Coast Disc Golf. And I hit them up and found out that there's also going to be a feature card. And that feature card is going to have Sias Elmore, Lance Brown, defending Wintertime Open champion Adam Hammes, and some guy named Paul McBeth, who is, I think, going to be out of his, well, he's out of his walking boot. So that's a good thing. I actually texted with him a little bit the other day, and he said, it seems fine. He walked like around Disneyland or something all day. Or was it Disneyland or Universal? I don't have my phone on me. I can't remember exactly, but he's fine. So hopefully he'll be good to go. He is the highest rated player on the MPO side. And then on the FPO side, Sarah, we've got an 8-player field with Owen Scoggins being the highest rated player at 949. Jessica Weiss, Hannah McBeth, Kona Panis, kind of rounding out the more known names. So what are you looking at? What are you seeing on this list, Sarah? Anyone really jumping out to you? Anyone you're hoping to get to see on video this weekend?
Well, I don't want to go with the obvious choice on the men's side.
Well, we're not making picks yet. We're just talking right now about
I don't want to give up
what you're looking forward to.
Oh,
you get to pick first. Who cares?
I'm interested that Austin Hannum is playing, but Katrina is not. So I need to text her about that. Maybe she's
Believe that's how it... I can't remember if she played it last year. I'd have to go back and look now.
Okay. So that's interesting that she's not playing, but I'm assuming they will be in the area together. Who else have we got here? I'm very excited to see Owen. I think we've talked about this over the past few weeks since her name has been... Her name started popping back up late last year, but when I first saw her on the scene, she played and was on lead card at the 2015 World Championships in Pittsburgh.
That's funny that you mentioned
super
that.
Super exciting.
I just went back and I was like, man, I keep seeing Owen's name pop up and like I'm in Southern California, but I haven't seen her play. And so I went to YouTube to look for video of her and Pittsburgh Worlds Final Nines, first thing comes up, and dang, she's fun to watch play. Like, yeah. She's super, she's like, yeah, that's a great word for it. Like, her her driving style is very snappy and powerful, and man, she can putt, like, from some serious distance. So,
yeah.
I'm excited to see her in this early season go. Unfortunately, I don't think at Wintertime Open FPO is being filmed, but it'll be interesting to see how she fares. Going back to the Katrina Allen question, she did play Wintertime Open last year.
Yeah,
curious why she's not playing at the in 2020. Yeah,
I've since Own got sponsored by Innova this year, I've messaged with her a little bit, so I need to message with her again, just be like, where have you been the past few years? Because she kind of just fell off the radar, and I'm interested in what she's been up to.
Yeah, life happens. We'll see if she can come on the show one of these days.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Be fun.
I mean, Kona Panis, I've been seeing a ton of videos of her preparing for the season, just, you know, super active on the off season. She's really good about sharing some of her processes and what she's doing on the tour and what she's doing to keep in shape. It looks like she's trying to give up sugar.
Man, that's a tough battle to fight.
As I'm sitting here drinking my hot chocolate. Okay. Yeah. So interested in seeing how she does. And yeah. I mean, I guess on a course like this, it kind of is anybody's game because it's a shorter course. It's what you said, I've never played before, but not super technical, so it doesn't really favor a super technical woods type player.
I mean, yeah, it's more, it's player. I think it's more technical than distance, but it's not like,
it's like ground
long,
play.
It's technical. Not like long technical. No, it's not even long a ground play. I mean, some of it's ground play, but it's more like, it's just, it's not overly long in its technicality. So it's like, you, like, for example, like if James Conrad were playing this, like, I wouldn't be like, oh, James Conrad has a massive advantage because he's a technical player. Because when I think of technical players who have an advantage, I also think about how they're able to kind of like handle the distance and that kind of technicality.
Yeah.
So this course, it's, you know, it's old school, man. It was first course ever. So it'll be fun. I think, you know, look at some of the SoCal players as anyone who might possibly have an advantage. You got guys like Steve Rico and Bobby Music and Philo Brathwaite, and then, you know, Paul McBeth. These people who grew up playing this course and this tournament have played it several years. Paul's won this event. Last year was the first time he hadn't won in quite some time, if I recall correctly. So, you know, a lot going on in that regard. And then I'm kind of excited to see, we've got, you know, Vina Mäkelä and Oskari Wikström all the way over from Finland already. Early season trip for those guys. They are a couple people to really keep an eye on. If you've been keeping track of kind of the Finnish movement, they're two of the big names. So I'm excited to see them turn out. I was playing with AJ Risley yesterday, and he mentioned how he's really excited for Terry Roethlisberger to go on tour this season. So he's another name to keep an eye out for starting his season here. And then there's this kid, Austin Hoop, who you can go watch some tournament coverage of him from the New Year's Classic that's up on the PGA site right now. And he can play too, man. So it's a really good time for disc golf right now. So we'll have to watch some coverage this weekend in Sarah. But before we do that, we got to make some picks. A reminder, we are also welcoming listener picks. So we had some listener picks come in this week. We will read those, and they will represent the listeners in our points for the coming season. And I would like to make a call right now for listeners who want to pick for the Las Vegas Challenge next week. Send us your picks, radio@pdga.com. Please put Las Vegas Challenge picks in the subject line, and we'll work you in. So, Sarah, actually, I'm gonna start with our listener picks. I think that makes most sense. Give the listeners some love. So our first listener pick ever comes from Matthew Barber. So Matthew, thank you for sending in your picks. And he went with Adam Hammes to repeat for the win, and Steve Rico for top five. And then he picked Owen Scoggins for the win in FPO and Jessica Weiss for top five lock. So, Sarah, I'm going to be a gentleman and let you kick things off this season. Who you got? Yeah, our picks can double up on the listeners.
That'd be
probably too much if they didn't. So, but who you got? Who you like this week?
I am going to go... So I feel like this course is reminiscent of De La Viega. Yay or nay?
Yeah. It has De La elements, like low ceilings and
like
not
very
as much.
Compacted dirt.
Yeah, not as much, but then there's some of that, and then but not as much elevation. But still, yeah. I mean, that's a it's like it has shades of it.
Okay. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Because Paul, just say Paul already.
No, this I'm not picking Paul. I'm not picking Paul. That's the
no,
whole
you're
thing.
Not picking Paul. Are you picking Garrett Gerthy?
I'm picking Garrett Gerthy.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. I'll take it. I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't want to be predictable this season.
Finally, took me a whole year. Well, shoot. I mean, I guess if he's there, I got to take Paul McBeth. Like, I can't not take Paul McBeth to win at this tournament. I'm not 100% confident in that pick either, just because we still don't really know what's 100% going on with his ankle. So, but when you look at the 25-point player rating disparity between him and the next closest player, we're going to see how many ratings points a not 100% ankle is worth, I guess. So yeah. Paul McBeth for me. Who you got on the top five MPO?
I'm going to go Adam Hammes. I think that's a
good pick. Yeah. Yep, I'm gonna also go with the runner up from last year, Austin Hannum. I actually wouldn't be surprised to see Austin come back and win this. If we recall correctly, he had kind of an unfortunate situation at the end of the tournament last year, where he ended up hitting someone in the gallery. Probably a little bit of a redemption play going on this year. So I'm gonna take Austin for top five. What do you like? Who do you like over on the women's side?
I'm going to go own. I'm going to owned it.
Oh, goodness. I love cool. it. That's great. Great pick. I think I like Jessica Weiss for the win. If I don't get to pick own, so then top five to you. Jessica Weiss, by the way, did win last year. So
yes.
I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah. I'm going to go Hannah McBeth. She's been
cool.
Yeah, it seems like she's been putting in some practice. She's been competing against some pretty interesting characters out there in the course.
Birdie Smith.
So yeah. I'm gonna go with her.
All right, I gotta go the next highest rated player on the list then, Kona Panis. I'll take Kona. Although I was considering giving a local some love, Brandy Myers. I just played the ice bowl with her the other week. I think she could show out a little bit too. But
I used to play with her and she lived in Mississippi, I believe.
Okay. Nice.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, it'll be a good tournament.
Yeah.
And shout out, we've got Dan Stork Roddick, PDGA number 3, playing the event up in the Pro Masters 70 plus division.
Awesome.
Also, Mark Horn, PDGA number 67, who used to run this event, ran it for like maybe 40 years. So there's a lot of history in this event. It's pretty cool. I might try and sneak up there just to watch. We'll see. It's a couple hour drive from here, so it kind of depends on how the weekend shakes out. But I might try and get up there and say hi to some folks. So anyway, you can check out the coverage on Central Coast Disc Golf. And again, send us your listener picks for the Las Vegas Challenge next week. And we'll see how that goes. Sarah, before we end the show today, we are getting into the 2020 season. So let's play the bold prediction game. And that's where we just say things that are totally going to come true because we're very, very smart.
We've run all the numbers.
We're very smart pundits when it comes to disc golf.
Yes.
So we each have about 3 bold predictions. I would like you to start. Give me your first bold prediction for the 2020 season.
Okay. Well, we have talked about this female player quite a bit, and she's just right on the brink of bringing home a big title. I think this is her year, and that would be Rebecca Cox.
Nice.
Yeah. And then same thing, Chris Dickerson.
When you say big title, like, can you be more specific?
Oh, sorry. I'm getting to it.
Okay. Sorry.
And then on the other side, the men's side, Chris Dickerson. I believe they're both going to take home their first national tour wins. Not only that, I'm narrowing it down to the actual tournament. And I had to look this up. I'm glad that Chris posted his tour schedule today because I was like, oh no, I made this prediction and he may not even be playing this event. But it all worked out because he is. And that's Delaware. And Delaware is Chris Dickerson golf. And he's never played this event. And I looked back at Rebecca Cox's events and she has also never played this event. But she does really well in with wooded golf. I mean, this is like a fair wooded course. Very long, very fair. Big fairways, lots of trees though on the sides of the fairways.
I would say this is quite. This registers is very bold for you.
Yeah, it's a like, whole new me in 2020.
This is like a Nashville hot chicken style bold here.
Hot tofu. It's
hot
tofu.
I'm sad now. that's a good one. All right. My first bold prediction is that in both the MPO and the FPO division, we are going to have a new world champion. And by new, I mean not new from just last year. A new one-time champion in both divisions.
Do you happen to know who those will be?
I mean, I have thoughts. I have ideas. I don't know if I want to go that far. But I will kind of give some of my thinking. Okay, so Pro Worlds is in Utah this year. It's at Mulligan's and this other course called The Fort. Mulligan's is a golf course, pretty wide open. You got to play placement shots, but not overly super long for a golf course. You know, Ricky Wysocki's won there a couple times, but you've also had guys like Josh Anthon keeping up with him relatively easily. And then you go over the Fort, which is this tighter wooded course that Matt Bell won the Utah Open at last year. And it's tight, technical, and also not super, like these aren't super extended stretch out courses this year at Worlds for it is, you know, it's some people might not like that, but I, you know, it could be a little more of an equalizer in that regard. And so I think on the MPO side, I think we're going to see someone like a Chris Dickerson who we're already, this is a Chris Dickerson show today.
Yeah.
But I think we could even, I mean, If we're talking about the distance and the technicality of these courses, I could even see someone like a, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be as highly rated of a player. I think we could see a Greg Barsby situation where it's, you know, that 10-25, 10-30 rated player who puts it all together for the whole week and is able to have a solid mental game. I could see someone like a Chris Clemens. Even, or Garrett Gerthy, someone like that, someone along those lines who I'm trying to think a little more, not necessarily outside the box, but like people who have those, they've kind of been there on the cusp and really just need to put it together consistently for a whole week. It could be a James Conrad kind of year. So we'll see. I think there's a lot of potential for, parity on the MPO side this year with Worlds. And then on the FPO side, it actually rolls into my second bold prediction. So I'm just going to roll into my second bold prediction, Sarah. In one of our divisions, and I think it's more likely to be FPO, we are going to have an international world champion. Because
I like
between Kristen Tatar and Evelina Salonen and Hannah Blomroos right now, that's a really strong crop of international players who can come over and keep up at these world's courses too. So, I think international world champion in the FPO division. Give me your second bold pick.
All right.
Or bold prediction, sorry.
We had some excitement with this player, specifically last year at USDGC. And it seems like, so it's Nico LeCastro. He just got picked up by Westside Discs. And it seems like he's just feeling more confident, has kind of a renewed swagger and has some excitement going into the 2020 season. Last year, he placed second at USDGC, a couple of top 10s at some Disc Golf Pro Tour events, and 10th at Worlds. And we don't do a whole lot of talking about him because we haven't seen him on a whole lot of lead cards this past year. But I think we're going to see him on some more lead cards, some more more top five finishes.
I think I like that prediction. It's kind of funny. I was having this conversation recently with somebody that, like, we're still kind of limited in disc golf in terms of just how many cards are actually filmed. So, like, there's times where you'll be having someone get in the top 10 who we didn't even see do anything. And a lot of times the conversation doesn't revolve around that player.
Right.
And Nico is a perfect example of that, who he'll float in that zone and then pop off. So, yeah, I love it. I hope we get some more juice out of Nico this season. All right. My final bold prediction, has to do with a young up and coming player, Heather Young. I'm predicting that Heather Young is going to win an NT or Pro Tour this year. I just think she obviously has the throwing skill, and I don't see her shaking like mentally yet. And maybe it'll get there. Maybe she'll get close and struggle, but like when I've seen her at events, she seems really composed. I know she's been working hard this off season. She was working with Sean for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she has all the skill in the world. I think she just needs more time to compete. And I could see her definitely taking one of these more premier level events this year.
Yeah, she's very, very level-headed. She's very intelligent in general. And I think, she puts pressure on herself to play well, but also has this, like, you know, what's going to be will be kind of attitude as well.
And yeah, she seems pretty well poised.
Yeah, she doesn't get too emotional when she's playing bad, at least not in public. Who knows? You know, maybe she's like me and cries in her car after a bad round. I don't know. I only did that once, for the record.
But you do it in your car, though.
Over 12 years, I cried. Maybe twice. Anyway, no, I love that prediction. I really hope that for her. That would be an awesome thing for her to do this season. I'm not sure this next one is all that bold for me.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I was going to say it.
I know. Okay. I think that Wysocki's going to win Worlds. He has a really good track record in Utah. He won the Utah Open in 2017 and 18 and took second place in 2019. See, I did do my research. Yeah, because I do not remember those things off the top of my head like you seem to do.
I mean, he walked off with an ace one.
Well, yeah, that one I remember, but that could have been like 2009 for all I know. I don't know. So
been like seven.
Yeah. So yeah, I think he's going to bounce back from his illness. He's just one of those people that's just hungry for it. And when he doesn't do well, he seems to come back better. And I think that's going to be the case for him this year.
You know what? I hope you're right. Like, honestly, as much as that would make my bold prediction wrong, like, I really just want to see a healthy Ricky. Like, I do have legitimate valid concerns about his health. So I hope that he comes back early this season. We get to see him looking strong and healthy and that he's putting up a good battle. So Sarah, we've got to open the door to listener bold predictions. So send us some bold predictions, radio@pdga.com, or hit us up on Twitter @pdga. And we'll read some of your bold predictions on the air next week, because if this is the best part about bold predictions, it's a disc golf podcast. Is anyone really going to go super rewind this next year? Like, maybe if someone like tags us with you're not really a big sports Twitter follower, Sarah, but there's this account called Freezing Cold Takes, and like people will make their predictions for things on Twitter and like tag Freezing Cold Takes, or people like Freezing Cold Takes will drum up people's bad predictions and then, you know, bring it back to them after they're wrong. So maybe we'll have a Freezing Cold Takes situation on our hands, but mostly it's just fun and gives us something to talk about. So send us your predictions, radio@pdga.com. Sarah, before we go, I know you got a shout out in you. What do you got this week?
I do. I'm actually looking up. So last week we introduced the PDGA Perfect Putt competition, and we were hoping that you all would download the app and get out there and do some putting practice with. It's just a really cool and competitive way, either with yourself or with some buddies, to make putting practice a little bit more interesting. And we asked people to either take a screen capture or video, whatever you want to do, and post it on Instagram with the hashtag PDGA Perfect Putt. And I'm just going to choose one randomly and do a shout out. All right. So for this past week, Kruggy Bear won. Kruggy Bear won. Actually got a really good score, 203.
203, nice.
Yeah, and, you know, So the app is called Perfect Putt 360. Obviously, 360 is a perfect game, and it is. I have never seen it done. I have never gotten anywhere close. I feel like if you break 200, you're doing pretty good. So congratulations to Ian Krug. I'm assuming it's Krug. You know me, I can't pronounce anyone's last name.
All right, Sarah, we gotta give out another shout out to Disc Golf Luke, because he claims he got a 302.
Wow. And he included a video.
That's a ballin'.
Okay, yeah.
Is there a video? I don't see the video.
360 record, link in bio.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I'm gonna have to watch this because I am intrigued.
Well, he's wearing the Paige Pierce hat.
Oh, well, that's
fine. And yeah. So 302, that's impressive,
that
man. Well, Disc Golf Luke, you are the winner of the week. Thank you. We want to see more of your videos. So yeah, here's the dirty secret. Neither Sarah nor I uploaded any hashtag PGA perfect putts this week. We better do that. For next week.
Yeah. I did a couple rounds of it before we introduced this, and I was not feeling too confident. And then it has literally not stopped raining in Nashville for 7 days. But if it becomes sunny again in a year or two, then I will do it.
In a year or two. Perfect. All right. I have no excuses. I was just lazy. So I will go and putt and I'll track it on the app and post one for next week. Yeah. So again, it's hashtag PDGA perfect putt. Thanks to everyone who's participated so long, and you can go download the app. It's Perfect Putt 360. You can find it on the App Store or Google Play. And yeah, it costs like half a fancy cup of coffee. So it's good stuff, and it'll help you get better at putting. All right, so that is going to do it for this week. But next week, we're going to be back and chatting about the Las Vegas Challenge and wrapping up the Wintertime Open. So Sarah, I hope you have an awesome weekend.
You as well. I'm actually playing in my first disc golf tournament of the year.
Oh, which one?
The Rockland Dam Challenge. It's a C tier and a temporary course.
Nice.
So hopefully it's not a ratings killer, but we'll see.
Nah, it'll be good.
Yeah.
You better go do some perfect putting.
I know. I need to. So,
all right. Well, good luck. We will chat about that next week. And again, if you're enjoying the show, subscribe, share it with a friend, leave us a review, all that good stuff. So for Sarah Sinclair, I'm Steve Hill. This was PDGA Radio. Be good to each other, and we will talk to you next